This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way until the last day. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to explore three chapters from amongst the chapters of Riyadu Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. The first chapter is entitled Babu Dhikrul Mauti wa Qasrul Amal. This chapter is the remembrance of death and restraint of wishes. Remembrance of death and restraint of wishes. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, as always, has commenced this chapter with a number of verses to do with this topic, to do with this area. The first ayah that he has included is from Surah Ali Imran, which is the third chapter of the Qur'an, in verse 185. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كل نفس ذائقة الموت. That every soul shall taste death. Every soul shall taste death. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And only on the day of Qiyamah, of resurrection, shall you be paid your wages in full. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted into Jannah, فَقَدْ فَاز. He has indeed succeeded. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. It's a deceiving thing. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by stating that كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That every soul, that everyone will taste death. Every living being will taste death. Just as the prophets and the messengers of the past tasted death, and the Sahaba and the righteous, whether they are righteous people, evil people, wicked people, all human beings die, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, and he is dead, and he is buried in a grave. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he addressed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. You are to die, and they will also die. Now, in this verse, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about the reality of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And that the translation is, and you will be paid your wages in full on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection. So that's when a person is going to receive their due, their full due in the hereafter. So when it comes to the mu'min, when it comes to a believer may be compensated for his righteousness and his goodness in this life. But he will not be fully compensated. He will not be fully reimbursed by Allah Azza wa Jal in this life. The true and the full sense of the reimbursement and the compensation is on the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That you shall be paid your wages in full. So, as I said earlier, that a believer in this life may still be rewarded in this life for his good deeds. So Allah Azza wa Jal can still reward a believer for his good deeds. It's not only about receiving compensation for your good deeds or being rewarded for your good deeds in the hereafter. But to get the full sense of the reward, and the full reward, you won't get it in this life. The full reward will be in the hereafter. So you get part of it now, and all the rest of it you'll get later, inshallah ta'ala, as a believer. So, what is the absolute success? What is absolute success? An absolute success and happiness, we find it in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ النَّار is the hellfire. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ Whoever is moved away, whoever is moved away from the hellfire, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ And he enters Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by saying, فَقَدْ فَازْ He has succeeded. The true success is not to be admitted into the fire, but to be admitted into Jannah. That is what it's all about, and that's why we are on the face of this earth. We are on the face of this earth to avoid entering the hellfire and to be admitted into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ So why is that person successful? He is successful because he has been saved from that which he hates. And he has gained that which he has loved. So when you are saved from that which you are, that you hate the most, that you detest, and that you enter Jannah, that which you desire and that which you yearn for, that is the ultimate success. Especially when we think about the seriousness of the hellfire and the torment on the physical level and mental level of the hellfire. You escape all of that and then you enter Jannah, which is perpetual, which is eternal. And then you're enjoying its delights, its rivers, its mansions, and everything that Jannah has to offer. That is the true success. And that's why we need to always remind ourselves about Jannah. And that's why the concepts of Jannah and Jahannam are repeated so much in the Quran, because that is what we are aiming for, inshallah ta'ala. And that's why, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke about the believer, he said, this dunya for the believer is a sijin, sijnul mu'min. It is the prison of a believer, because the believer feels that he has been imprisoned from the real life of Jannah, the eternal life, where there will be no hunger, no thirst, no urinating, no defecating. There's sheer pleasure and happiness and bliss and enjoyment that is found in Jannah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So, the more that a person occupies himself with this dunya, the more he is distancing himself from the Akhirah and distancing himself from Jannah. So this is why Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَقَصْرُ الْأَمَلِ and the restraint of wishes, that we shouldn't put all of our emphasis and all of our focus on the dunya. Because the more focus that you have on dunya and material gain and its riches and the positions that you can occupy in this dunya, the more that you put effort into this dunya, the more that you are going to lose sight and lose focus of the akhirah. So it's very important that we always have all of our attention to the akhirah, because that's the real life. Remembering this, inshallah ta'ala. And that's why in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ I don't fear for my ummah that they become poor, poverty stricken. The Prophet ﷺ never feared that we will become an ummah, a nation, which is poverty stricken. He said, وَإِنَّمَا أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَفْتَحَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا فَتَحَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلِكُمْ I fear that the dunya opens up, this world, becomes very attractive to you. That you look at this dunya and it's very attractive and very, you know, you become focusing too much on the dunya. That's what he fears. مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَإِنَّمَا أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَفْتَحَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا فَتَحَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلِكُمْ. Just as it did to those who came before us. Those who came before us, they looked at the dunya and they got preoccupied with the dunya. And then he goes on and he says, فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. And then you start competing. That you start competing for this dunya just as they competed for it. Competing. I need to have this much of the dunya, this much wealth, riches and all those things that the dunya offers. Just as those that came before us competed regarding it, فَتُهْلِكُكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And it will destroy you just as it destroyed them. It will destroy your akhirah. It will destroy the very reason why we are alive. And let's be reminded of that. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn or mankind except for worship. We are on the face of this earth to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the earth, to submit our will to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is what Islam is. Islam means submission and surrender and obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must never lose focus of why we have been created. And the purpose of life is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. He said, this dunya, this world is cursed. There is no real blessing in it. الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ, مَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا. Cursed is whatever is in it. There's no blessing in whatever is in it. إِلَّا, then he gives an exception. إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Except for remembrance of Allah. Anything that helps you remember Allah or makes you, when actually remember Allah, that's not cursed. إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَهِ وَعَالِمًا وَمُتَعَلِّمًا. And the scholar and the student of knowledge, those people pursuing Islamic knowledge, there's barakah, there's blessing in these things. So let's remember this inshallah ta'ala. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, sometimes it is best for a person to be in a state of poverty, to be in a state of faqr or need, than to be in a state of being wealthy. Because a person may be wealthy and his wealth might set him astray. So always say Alhamdulillah for the state that you're in. Praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the state that you are in. For perhaps if you were in a wealthier state, in a better state, or in a state that you think is better for you, it's actually not better for you. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It might be that you hate something, but there is khair, there is good in it for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا. And it might be that you love something, but it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows and you do not know. So let us always accept what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for us, inshaAllah. Now, the end part of this verse is وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. That the life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. It's deception, a deceiving thing, that there really isn't, yani this life isn't really something to focus on. This is all fleeting. This dunya is fleeting. This dunya is passing on. Okay, and we're going to see some of the hadith that Prophet ﷺ included in this chapter to comparing, saying to the believers to be like travelers, to be like wayfarers, or to be like strangers in this dunya. Inshallah ta'ala. From amongst the verses that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, he says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. That no person knows what he will earn tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And no person knows in what land he will die. Nobody knows where they will pass away. Nobody knows when. Nobody knows when their time is going to come. So Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala is reminding us in this chapter that that's why we should always remember death, because we don't know when it's going to come to us. There's no, yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, most of my ummah will live between 60 and 70, and some will surpass this age. But how many people we know of that die at very young age, or in their 20s, or in their 30s, or in their 40s? So that's why we need to remember that there's going, by remembering this and knowing this, okay, by knowing this, then inshallah ta'ala we'll be better Muslims and better with regards to our deeds and our actions. You know, how many people have, you know, so many things in life, so many mishaps and so many accidents and so many things that happen. You know, our life is always, can at any time be subjected to death. So we have to remember this, so that way we can meet Allah Azza wa Jal and He is happy with us. The next verse that has been mentioned, or the Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, is from Surah An-Nahl, verse 61. And the previous verse that I recited was from Surah Luqman, verse 34. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And when their term comes, neither can they delay, nor can they advance it an hour or a moment. And when your time comes, when your time is up, your time is up. You cannot ask for an extension. You can't ask for an extension. You know, you can't say to Malakul Maut when he comes, can you just give me one more moment? That's it. Your moment is up. There's no more moment. The moment that's already been decreed, that you will die at such and such time, such and such hour, minute, second, that's your time, that's it. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making very clear to us. This next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Munafiqun, from verses 9 to 11, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. O you who have believed, Allah is addressing the believers, and He says, let not your properties, your amwal, your wealth, لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ, and your children, your awlad, your children, عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Do not allow for your wealth, do not allow for your children to divert you from what? From the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, first and foremost here, it's your obligations. Your obligations, your salat and your siyam and your zakat and your hajj and your the things that you are obligated in doing. لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever does that, whoever allows for their wealth or their children to get in the way of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. So now, for example, when Salatul Dhuhr comes, they get preoccupied with their children, or they get preoccupied with their business. You know, so they don't allow for everything to revolve around their salah, but then now their salah and their obligations and their duties revolve around everything else. This is the problem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ, whoever allows for this to happen, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they are the losers. They are فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْخَاسِرُونَ. خُسْرَان is loss. They are the ones who are going to be in loss. Again, they could be in loss in this life. There's no barakah, no blessing in their wealth, in their time. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send them many afflictions and hardships and trials because of them not fulfilling their duties towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And it could well be the loss of the hereafter, where they're being admitted into hellfire for a period of time of being a believer, or whether and then coming out to Jannah, or going into a lesser level in Jannah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And then, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to spend in charity. Al-infaq. Al-infaq. Spend in charity. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Before death comes to you. Because death comes to you. That's what happens. You don't go to it. It will come to you. Death approaches. Malakul maut. And by the way, the right word to use for the angel of death is Malakul maut and not Izrail. Izrail is said to be the name given to Malakul maut, as we find in some previous scripture. But Allahu A'lam, Allah Azza wa Jal refers to the angel of death as Malakul maut. So when referring to the angel of death, it's best to refer to him as Malakul maut, the angel of death. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولُ. Before death comes to you and you say, so spend before death comes to you and you say, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. My Lord, my Rabb, if only you delayed me to just a short period of time, أَجَلْ قَرِيبٍ. A little, just give me a little bit, يعني, a bit more respite for a little while. فَأَصَّدَّقَ. So I can give sadaqah. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So I can be from amongst the righteous. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah grants respite to none. Allah does not give an extension to anybody when His appointed time, meaning death, comes. Very clear. Allah will not give anybody respite. And Allah is all aware of what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by saying, وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Another verse that is mentioned here is, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when death comes to one of them and he says, My Lord, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, meaning, send me back. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, so that I may do good in that which I left behind. But it will be said, كَلَّا, no. كَلَّا, إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. No, it is but a word that he speaks. He's just saying that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهُمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبَعَثُونَ. And behind them is a barzakh, a barrier, until the day when they will be resurrected. So when you enter death, you enter into a life, into a period, it's called al-barzakh. See, in life we have different periods that we go through as humans. We have the period of the womb. We have the period of the dunya. We have the period of al-barzakh, which is the life when you were in the state of the grave. You in the grave, you are dead. And then we have the afterlife. They're the four stages of a person's life. So another verse, or continuing on. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until the day when they will be resurrected. That's the barzakh. Then the trumpet is blown. When that happens, there will be no kinship among them that day, nor will they ask of one another. Nobody will ask about anybody when the horn is blown. Asur. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever scales are going to be heavy, they are the successful ones. And as Muslims, we believe in the scales of the hereafter, where our good deeds and bad deeds are weighed up. Al-Mizan, which is known as the Mizan, the scales. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. And whoever and those whose scales of good deeds are light, they are those who lose their own selves. In hell will they abide. A very serious verse. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included a number of hadiths, a number of prophetic traditions that deal with this subject and deal with this topic. The first hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with Abdullah and Umar, his father radiallahu anhuma. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took hold of his shoulders of Abdullah ibn Umar and he said to him, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب. Be in this dunya as if you are a stranger. غريب, a stranger. أو عابر سبيل, or like a traveler. This is how we need to be in this dunya. Strangers. We're not here for long. Okay? And when you're traveling, when you think of yourself as a traveler, you know that you're coming back home. You know that this place, as a traveler, as a person that you go into another country, another city, you know that you're coming back. So the believer just believes that this world is temporary. It's transitory. You know, when you travel by aeroplane and you go into transit, you just stay somewhere for a little while, then you catch another plane. Okay, that's what it is. For a believer, we're just here in transit. And this dunya and what we do in it, in this transitory life, dictates where we will be in the hereafter, inshallah ta'ala. And then he said, the Prophet sallallahu وَكَانَ Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma يَقُولَ Ibn Umar, now Ibn Umar used to say this. Ibn Umar used to say, and some people think that the Prophet said this. Ibn Umar used to say, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْظُرْ أَوْ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. He said, when the evening time comes, don't expect that you're going to live to the morning. Because you could die that evening. That means, don't have this hope that you're going to live to the next morning. In other words, make sure that you go to sleep and you've done all your duties towards Allah Azza wa Jal. In case Allah Azza wa Jal decides to keep your soul, to not allow for your soul to return back to you. Because you know when you are sleeping, this is known as the minor death. Minor death. Sleep is the minor death. إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. And when you get up in the morning, don't wait for the evening. Don't expect the evening to come about. Don't think that you're going to live to the evening. Now when you have this mindset, what's going to happen? You're going to now make sure that your deeds are good because you might not make it to the evening. So a Muslim is in consistent and constant checking of themselves, checking that they are fulfilling their obligations towards Allah Azza wa Jal. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And then Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, and when you survive to the morning, do not expect to live until the evening. And while in good health, do good deeds before you fall sick. And while you are alive, do good deeds before death strikes you. So when you have the health, Alhamdulillah, you have the health and you're mobile and you're active and you're able to do so much now as a healthy person. Do as much as you can, because you don't know when you are going to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to trial you with some sort of illness or sickness. So do as much as you can while you have the health, before you become immobile or disabled, or you have some sort of illness which, you know, does not allow you to do much. And likewise, while you are alive, contribute with sincerity to different causes, to doing righteous deeds before death comes about, and that's it. Because once death comes about, the only thing that's going to benefit you are those things that you leave behind, that the Prophet ﷺ told us about, whether it's knowledge that you leave behind, whether it's a ongoing charity that you leave behind, whether it's a righteous child that makes dua for you. Other than that, you're on your own, and those actions that you accumulated, the good deeds that you accumulated while you were alive. The previous hadith that I just mentioned to you is found Sahih Bukhari. Now, this next hadith is about writing your will. Writing your will. And the reason why Imam al-Nawawi included this hadith in this chapter is because, again, you don't know when you are going to die. And the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ma haqqu imri'in muslimin lahu shay'un yusi fihi yabitu laylatayn illa wa wasiyyatuhu maktubatun 'indah." It is the duty of a Muslim who has something which is to be given as a bequest not to have it for two nights without executing a written will. And in the narration of Sahih Muslim, it is narrated as three nights. So one narration says two nights, and one narration says three nights. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, "Since I heard the Messenger of Allah say this, I have never spent a night without having my will with me." So therefore, if you have something to bequest, something to put in your will, let's say you have money that you owe somebody, somebody owes you money, or you would like, for example, to give part of your wealth, not exceeding a third of it, to some charity organization, then put it in a will and keep it with you. Keep it with you. Now, for those of you who are living in a Western country, sometimes it is best to actually have your will endorsed through the authorities or through the government. So it's one that is recognized by the government, because you might have members of the family who will not honor your will, or not honor for the things that you leave behind, those things that your family can inherit. They may not be distributed in accordance with Islamic law. And alhamdulillah, in Islamic law we have a whole section, a whole chapter dedicated to bequests or inheritance law. So alhamdulillah, there are lawyers in Western countries, okay, whereby they will write a contract whereby ensuring that your wealth is distributed in accordance with the law of Islam. With the law of Islam. So that's something to consider, especially living in a non-Muslim country. So pretty much in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if you have something to will, don't allow for two nights or three nights to go past without having it written somewhere, documented. So if anything was to happen to you, it can, you know, people can refer back to that will, inshallah, back to that document. The next hadith that I want to share with you that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is about doing good deeds before seven things may overtake you. Seven things. It's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, and we find it in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he reported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Hasten to do good deeds before you are overtaken by one of the seven afflictions." He said, "Badiru bil a'mali sab'a hal tanziruna illa faqran munsiya." Then he mentions the seven things. He says, then give a warning. Then give a warning. He said, are you waiting for poverty, which will make you unmindful of devotion? So give before poverty overtakes you. So give before you are overtaken by poverty. You just never know. I mean, yes, you're doing well right now financially, but you never know when the tables can turn or the tides can turn. So that's the first one, before poverty comes about, which will make you unmindful of being devoted. The next one is prosperity, which will make you corrupt. Or you might become rich, and your riches might corrupt you. So be quick and hasten to do good before you become rich, and your richness and your wealth will divert you from that which you are obligated to do. The third one is, or a disease which will disable you. Again, do good before you are overcome by some sort of illness or disease. The next one, number four, or senility, which will make you mentally unstable. You might become insane. I've actually come across a situation whereby an older man became Muslim. He became Muslim, and not even a week later, he became insane. That's it. So he really only had that 1 week to do some righteous deeds. But the good thing for him is, you know, alhamdulillah, he embraced Islam. So senility, which will make you mentally unstable. Or the next one, number five, or sudden death. Sudden death. And this is also one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. You know, al-mawtu al-faj'a, that people die suddenly. Heart attacks. Okay, that can happen. Sudden death, which will take you all of a sudden. Number six is ad-dajjal, who is the worst expected. Masih ad-dajjal can come about. Okay. And number seven, the hour, the Day of Judgment. Number seven is the Day of Judgment. Who knows when the Day of Judgment is going to take place. So be quick to do good deeds before one of these seven things come about. In the next hadith, that is also found in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, it's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ يعني الموت. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember more often the destroyer of pleasures, meaning death. Always remember the destroyer of pleasures, and that is death. Death will overtake us sooner or later. So, again, being heedful and talking about death checks man from being lost in the worldly pleasures and seductions. The next hadith talks about the blowing of the trumpet twice and the importance of maximizing greetings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu wa arda, and we find this hadith in Sunan at-Tirmidhi. It's a very interesting hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, reported that when a third of the night would pass, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get up and call out, O people, remember Allah. And then he would say, the rajifah, which is the first blowing of the trumpet, okay, has come. The rajifah has come, followed by ar-radifah. Ar-radifah is the second blowing. And we find this in one of the chapters of the Quran that talk about the rajifa and the radifa. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَ. So, the two blowing of the trumpets. And then he goes on, and he says, death has approached with all it comprises. Death has approached with all that it comprises. I said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I frequently invoke Allah to elevate your rank. How much of my supplications should I devote to you? You know, sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you may devote as much as you wish. When I suggested a quarter, he said, do whatever you wish, but it will be better for you if you increase it. I suggested half, and he said, do whatever you wish, but it will be better for you to increase it. I suggested two-thirds, and he said, do whatever you wish, but it will be better for you if you increase it. I said, shall I devote all of my supplications, invoking Allah to elevate your rank? He then said, then you will be freed from your worries, and your sins will be forgiven. So the importance of sending and maximizing greetings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this hadith, we have the about the two blowings of the trumpet of the sur, and the first will throw the earth and its mountains into tremendous convulsions, annihilating all life and disrupting the entire physical structure of the universe. And the second blowing is after an indefinite period of time that only Allah Azza wa Jal knows. So the period between the first blow and the second blows, Allahu A'lam, as for the timing of it. But this will pretty much mark the resurrection day, or Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and bring forth the whole scenario of the last judgment. That's when the second trumpet, or blowing of the second trumpet. Now, regarding maximizing sending the, blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a verse in the Quran regarding this. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala an-nabi, that Allah and His angels send supplications and greetings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, and he says to the believers, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, send peace and blessings upon him. So this is also an instruction that we find in the Quran. The next chapter that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is Bab Istihbab Ziyaratul Qubur Lirrijali wa ma yaquluhu az-za'ir, the desirability of visiting graves for men and what they should say. The first hadith that he mentions is the hadith of Buraydah radiallahu anhu, whereby he says that the Messenger of Allah, he said, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ فَزُورُوهَا. The Prophet wasallam at one stage prohibited and forbade for Muslims to visit the graves. It was not allowed once upon a time during Islam for Muslims to visit the graveyards. He said, I used to prohibit you from visiting the graveyards, but now you can visit them. Now you can visit them. So this, there was a nahi, there was a prohibition, then now there is a command. And the ulama said, whenever you have a nahi that is followed by a command, that equals istihbab. That means it's desirable. So forbidden, he's saying do it, therefore it's desirable to visit the graves. It's desirable. In another hadith, in another narration that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, whoever wants to visit a graveyard, let him do so because it reminds us of the hereafter. إِنَّمَا تُذَكِّرُهُ الْآخِرَةِ, that when you visit the graveyards, it's a good thing because it makes you remember the Akhirah. And the Akhirah is the hereafter. And every Muslim's hereafter, or every person's hereafter, is death. Because once you die, you have entered into the realm of the Akhirah. you have entered into the realm of the hereafter, because that's when the questioning of the grave takes place, when you are questioned by the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, and you are asked, you know, who is your Lord, who is your Rabb, what is your what is your religion, your faith, and who is your prophet? And that's, they're the three questions that you ask, get asked in the grave. So, again, visiting the graves is a sunnah. The ulama have differed regarding females visiting the graves, between those who say it's not allowed for women to visit the graves and those who say it is allowed. And the soundest opinion, the most correct opinion that is closest to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that women are allowed to visit the graves, as long as they adhere to the correct, you know, dress code and the etiquettes and the manners to be observed when a woman is at the grave, at the graveyards. So, like I said, there is scholarly, it's a fiqhi matter where there is difference of opinion amongst the ulama regarding ziyaratul qubur. But in saying that, of course, women are not to follow the funeral procession to the graveyard. Okay, following the funeral procession to the graveyard is something that has been disallowed according to one narration. And Umar radiallahu anhu wa arda, you know, when he spoke about death, he said, you know, kafa bil mawti maw'idha, because death in itself is an admonition. You don't need words. You don't need a lecture. When you go to the graveyards and you know of somebody's death, that in itself is a lesson. That in itself reminds us, okay, of the Akhirah. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that whenever it was her turn to spend with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go to the Baqi'a, and the Baqi'a is the graveyard of Medina. Al-Baqi'a is the graveyard of Medina. And he would go there at the last part of the night, and he would say, may you be safe, O abode of the believing people. What you have been promised has come to you. You are tarried till tomorrow, and certainly we shall follow you if Allah wills. O Allah, forgive the inmates of the Baqi' al-Gharqad. So there is a dua. When you visit the graveyard, there is a specific dua to say. And we should all know this dua, because at one point or another we are going to be, you know, visiting the graves. In the hadith of Buraydah radiallahu anhu, he reported, and this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to teach them, in other words the Sahaba, whenever they came out to visit the graveyard, to say, As-salamu alaykum ahl al-diyar min al-mu'minin. As-salamu alaykum ahl al-diyar min al-mu'minin wal-muslimin. Wa inna in sha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. As'alullaha lana wa lakum al-afiyah. As'alullaha lana wa lakum al-afiyah. So what this hadith or dua means, may you be safe, O inmates of the abodes of the believers and the Muslims, mu'minin and muslimin. And if Allah pleases, or if Allah wills, we shall follow you. We pray to Allah for well-being for ourselves and for you. That's the dua. And you can find this dua in Hisn al-Muslim. You can find it in Fortress of the Muslim, that talks about the visiting of the graves and what to say when you visit the graveyards. And interestingly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught this dua to Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, when I come to visit the graves, okay, what do I say? And her being a female, he didn't say to her, you're not allowed to visit the graves. That's one of the arguments that the ulama used for women being allowed to visit the graves, teaching Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha this dua. The next chapter that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala included, and I'm going to conclude with just a couple of hadiths from this chapter, is the chapter of the abomination of longing for death. Babu karahatu tamanni al-maut. Basically, one should not wish for death. Yani, it's disliked to wish to die. And this hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا يتمنى أحدكم الموت. He said that none of you should wish for death. None of you should wish for death. If he is righteous, perhaps he may add to his good works. And if he is a sinner, possibly he may repent. Because if you're a good person, you might do more good deeds and get a higher rank in Jannah. Or you might be a sinful person and you're wishing for death and you haven't properly repented. So that Allah extends your life and you repent sincerely. So you should not wish for death. If, however, you insist, if you are struck with a calamity that is very unbearable, very trialing, a calamity, a hardship, a very hard moment in your life, then are you allowed to ask for death? Listen to this next hadith. It's the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, and it's found in Bukhari and Muslim, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, let none of you wish for death on account of an affliction that befalls him. If he has no alternative, then let him say, Allahumma ahyini ma kanatil hayatu khayran li. Oh Allah, give me life so long as life is good for me. وَتَوَفَّنِي إِذَا كَانَتِ الْوَفَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي. And take away my life if death is good for me. So basically what you're saying, you're making a dua, oh Allah, if death is good for me, then make me pass away. If death is not good for me, and in other words, you know, oh Allah, what is best for me, then give me life and don't take away my life. That's what you are allowed to say. But to say, oh Allah, give me death. Oh Allah, I want you to take away my life. This is not from the etiquettes and the manners that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. So inshallah ta'ala, I just wanted to end up with these two hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته